Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah,
you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to your day off. My name is Courtney. Of course, I'm sitting with my best friend, Tony. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, brother?
Nothing. If you hear that noise in the background, it's because we are live from Salt Lake City Beauty and Barber Expo, or Barber and Beauty?
Beauty Barber.
Beauty Barber Expo. I can't ever get that. You know, I always get it wrong, so I'm like 100% getting it wrong, but it's never 100% getting it right.
But we'll have 10 podcasts this weekend. We're going to have 10 different names.
That's me. That's what I do. Barber and Beauty Expo, Salt Lake City. If you guys haven't been out here, this is a really cool event. It's the only really like barber expo that I know that's in the Mountain Standard Time. So somebody just commented that they're the forgotten time zone, and they have to definitely be like the least populated time zone, I would think, in the country, right?
Yeah, we want to give a shout out to Tyler. Thank you so much for having us out here, allowing us to do our thing, and we can support your thing. And but if you haven't been out here, you got to come out here, not only because of this show, but the outstanding beauty around Salt Lake City.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, we fall in love with this area.
Yeah, for sure. I certainly will spend as much time as I possibly can in Utah. I get it. You know, I totally get it. We were in Southern Utah for a few days before this, and it's just there's no place like it that I've ever seen in the world.
No. You know, we just came back from Iceland in June. And, you know, those are mountains. But these, I mean, is beyond mountains. I mean, they make Iceland mountains look tiny.
Right? I don't know. You know, we can go on about this, and we've done it before, but you can't see it in pictures. You can't talk about it. You have to experience it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you just have to experience being out here, and you can't talk about Big Sky. You've got to experience Big Sky. You're like, geez, that's a big sky, and that sounds like the weirdest thing you can possibly say, but it's true. Like, it's Big Sky. You know.
Yeah.
It's
so crazy. And today's guest, we were going to do her via Zoom, and then we found out that she's in Salt Lake. We're like, hey, let's hold this up. You know, let's do it live. Because when you do it live, the energy is so much different. The conversation's a little different. You know, you feed off of each other. The emotion, all of it's a little different. So, you know, we were happy that she, and plus her right-hand man could be in the conversation as well. So, you know, we were happy that she was able to make this happen.
Yeah, we're excited to. We are excited to have you guys.
Thank you for having us.
So today we're going to talk to Jenna Puzio and Corey Kaylee, and they have a company called Fill My Books.
Fill Your Books.
Fill Your Books, and you know, who doesn't need help there? You know, so I want to get into the conversation and see how they can help the industry, because you know we're big fans of anybody that's enriching the industry. So Jenna and Corey, welcome to your day off.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We appreciate you getting us in person. We agree. In person definitely gives you a different energy, but we're happy to be here, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. We can talk about, you know, the noise and stuff and all that stuff.
Yeah, but you guys are correct with the mountains. The photo does not do it justice. You have to come see it yourself. That's what we tell our family. Like, get on a plane, come see it, because I'm not sending any pictures. It's not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. You can't see it. You have to experience it. Like, there's just like...
Have they listened?
Some.
Some of them, yeah. It's always like...
The, what she meant to say was the important ones.
Yes.
Right.
Mom, sorry. Mom hasn't been out here yet.
What? You know, mom might not leave if she comes out here.
It's true.
How long have you been out here?
6 years now.
And mom still hasn't visited?
Stop. She'll get so upset.
Come on, mom.
Oh. She doesn't like flying.
Oh, there's that thing. She should buy an RV.
That's what I said. Take a road trip.
Yep.
It is a nice drive. That's how we got out here initially. We just packed up our car and drove out. It's really pretty.
Yep.
Yeah.
Origin story of Fill Your Books.
Yeah. Origin story of Fill Your Books was the drive out here?
Well, kind of. We moved out here on a whim. He came out here. He was like, I love it. Let's move out here. A couple weeks later, packed our bags, came out. I was doing hair at the time in New Jersey, so obviously I came out here. We didn't know a single soul. So I was like, I need to get my ish together, if you will. And when we got out here, we came out here. He had clients for his own work. When we came out, that ended up falling through, like, right when we got here. And we were like, we can't go home with our tail between our legs. We're not going to do it. We need to figure it out. So I really hit the ground running, doing what I knew how on Instagram, and Corey's from the digital marketing, media buying, copywriting space. And he was like, I'll help you set up an ad. Like, let's figure it out. And before you know it, I got really busy. And then girls around me started asking me, what are you doing? I started teaching some local classes. And then I did an online class, and it went viral. And now it's a whole mastermind. And that's how FillYourBooks.com was born. Through my kind of sink or swim situation.
Wow. Yep. Well, a lot of times through adversity like that, you know, things shine or things come through that, you know, that you just discover.
Yeah. No, you have to be ready. And this is what we realize working with thousands of people is you have to, the person has to be ready to do it. Like, you have to be in a mindset. It doesn't necessarily mean you are at a point where you might need to go live back home in your parents' basement, which we were in that point, but you just have to have that mental click of, I'm sick of where I'm at right now, and I want to make it through to the other side.
There's an old adage that says that if you want to win the battle, burn the boats.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right? A really good one. I had a tennis coach growing up, and he always told me a setback is a setup for a comeback. And so it's nice when you're in that kind of back against the wall situation. I think it just forces you to, yeah, sink or swim. So it's cool.
I love that, man.
And then, were you guys nervous that you had to work together, or had?
We're best friends. We told you guys we're high school sweethearts. We've been together for almost 12 years now.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we actually do a very good job at. I like to pat ourselves on the back. One thing we did realize was we separate offices is a smart move, or else no work gets done. But yeah, we enjoy working together. We kind of are on separate ends of the business, so we don't really step on each other's toes. But we love working together. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So Fill Your Books, what was the motivation behind it? What, and I don't mean this in an offensive way, so don't take it that way, but like, what made you the expert in that?
Sure. I think that's the beauty of it. I wasn't an expert. It was just, I realized if I didn't share this thing with other people, I would be doing a disservice in the entire industry. I went from working in commission salons, not that there's anything wrong with commission salons, I think the right leader, they're a great space. I was in ones where I wasn't treated well, I didn't enjoy my job, I came over here, I kind of learned what it was like to be independent, but like that fire that I had when I went to hair school, when you're so excited, you're like, I love this is my craft, I want to do this every single day. When you hit the ground running and you are trying to build a clientele, you're in, you're an assistant just like getting the shit beat out of you, for lack of a better term, and it's like, that the fire starts to dwindle down. And once I kind of crack the code of like, oh, I understand how to make a connection with a potential client. I get what it takes to find somebody and make them a client, a returning client from step A to Z. And it excited me again. And I was like, other people need to know about this, because I was working with so many people who I saw that light just like dimming down, or the business was bogging them down, and they loved what they did, but they really didn't have a grasp on the business side. And I've always been passionate about the business side, more so in like, how do I give a great client experience? And I think that's why that attributed to like why my methods worked well. But I was like, if I could just teach this to other people and I can help one person go be happier in their career, and then they go home and they spread that joy and love to their kid, that kid's gonna go be nicer to someone else on the playground, and more just spreading joy of life doesn't have to suck. Like, you can get in the driver's seat and take the reins, and it's not just waiting and sitting for a client to walk in or call in. You can go find that client and have control, just like you have control over how well or much you know in your craft.
Yeah.
So also, more so just spreading the joy.
Yeah, and back to your point about like being an expert. When we first started, it wasn't like we were like, hey, we're these guys, listen to us. It kind of was more of an accidental snowball effect. And then what I like to believe is, like, evidence kind of validates expertise. So after we had 10 people who were helped, 50, 100, 200, it's like, okay, we have the evidence of this that supports the claim. Because I think anybody can make a claim, like, I can do X, Y, Z, but then what's standing behind the wall, right?
Sure.
And so as that started to build and that evidence started to establish, it wasn't even our own words. It was like our clients and students started saying, hey, they're the people for this. And we were like, I guess we're the people for that.
It wasn't like, we're going to build this thing. It was literally like, all right, I guess we have to go put this together now because we have more people. And so it just kind of fell in our lap.
Yeah, what was the aha moment?
You know, like, I think it was that for our first, like, we did a one-time class online. It was like a boot camp, and it went viral. And I'll let you tell that story of...
Yeah, we kind of put it out there with no expectations, and then we started having some students enroll. But I think the moment that was the big aha was our first success story that came back. And, you know, I'll never forget. She was a single mom. She had a little... in-garage salon because she had to be home with her son who had some special needs, so she couldn't really go out. But for her, it was really challenging to get clients because she's like, people don't want to come to my house. It's kind of weird to sell myself. I can't do the whole, let me take videos and photos and show this place because it's like my living room than my garage. And so she needed kind of more of an unconventional way to grow. Long story short, she goes through our stuff. We help her out. And then she posts back. She's like, hey, I've been with you guys for a week. I have 10 new people on my schedule. Like, this is insane. And that was like that. I still get kind of like goosebumpy from that because that was that moment like, hey, this is beyond like our little ecosystem. Now she has light at the end of the tunnel. She's able to build this thing. Something that admittedly she was like, I was about to close this down is now coming to light. That was our big aha moment. I think the motivation just came from that. And then it felt like every single day after that, another person, another person, another person. Then someone's like, I was able to buy a new house. I was able to move. I was able to put my kids in this school. And that just, like, really fueled our flame as far as, like, the start of the aha moment.
I mean, that's pretty incredible to be able to have this kind of, I guess, comments on people that you've helped. You know, I was able to buy a house.
I have goosebumps just thinking about it. It's the craziest thing. And that's, I never thought I'd be sitting in a spot to say that we've helped somebody do that. So, like, I mean, and we've had multiple people post in our group, in our community, talk about buying houses, and then a thread will start where people are like, I'm building mine, and it doesn't sound real saying it out loud. But.
And I do want to mention, too, it's like, it would be easy to take the full credit for it, but to credit those people, they got out of their comfort zone. They started building habits and systems in their life that wasn't the usual for them. And they took action as well. So it's really like a 50-50 relationship. I mean, you can, what, like, lead a horse to water but can't make him drink type deal.
Yeah.
You know, these are great people, and they're doing what they have to. And they're changing their lives as well through their actions, beliefs, you know, kind of man in the mirror type thing. So it's really incredible.
That's our big motto is, like, we give you the tools, but you're building the house. You're going to have this skill set for the rest of your life, really.
Go ahead. So let's talk about what is Fill Your Books, right? I mean, we hear it.
Sure.
But what is it?
It's really, like, I would say consulting and education would be a good umbrella term. I mean, I could go on for, like, years about the ins and outs, so I try to encapsulate it in an image that people could kind of grasp. I say consulting and education, so we give you all of our proven processes, frameworks, walkthroughs, trainings, and then we support you through it, right? We hold you accountable. We audit what you're doing. We point out what you're doing right. Let's double down on that. We point out what you're doing wrong. Let's remove and fix that. And it's kind of just really a coaching and collaborative process. That's probably the best way to summarize it.
Yeah. Our big motto is attract, connect, retain, right? So that's really the three key pieces that we're teaching people. We're teaching you, how are you going to attract new clients? How are you going to make a connection with them in order to actually book them on their first appointment? Then how am I going to retain that, right? So those are the three key big pieces that we're teaching.
Yeah, people need to know who you are, because you could be really good, but if people don't know who you are, you know. Then once people know who you are, you have to be able to communicate, right? Because you're most likely, especially now and moving forward, not the only person in your vicinity that does what you do. So now you have to be able to communicate. And then once you have them, you have to be able to back it up, right? And, like, you made a promise, now you have to keep a promise so you can keep them.
Communication is, like, that's my baby. When I hear communication, like, that's what I love. We go very deep into, and I know sales has like a, it's like a dirty word, but it's really just, how do we communicate with people? Because in the world of social media, constantly changing, what's the new trend? What's the new app? That's always going to be changing. But what's never going to change in our industry is communication, whether that's through an online conversation or it's in person. That's the thing that keeps us, like, what makes you different from me and what makes the next person different from the salon down the street. It's how you communicate, and the way that you communicate is unique to you. So it's kind of finding that voice while also following a proven structure that we know works.
What, so talking about communication, talking about how to set yourself aside from other people, like, what are you guys recommending, or like, what are you looking at to say, this is why you're different? Like, you know, like, there's so many, like, lived in hair artists now. So, you know, what's to separate me from, you know, Katie, or, you know, right, someone that's, you know, that's nearby?
I think it's just about, one, not being afraid, but two, like, not being so stuck in the structure. So not being so stuck in the structure. Like, I feel like people think that there's this exact formula, when really it's nothing that's too deep. It's really just, I like to say, do the thing that other people aren't willing to do. You'll see so many times where it's like, in people's Instagram bios, it's like, no DMs, just go to my website to book, fill out this form. It's very just like, people try to automate a lot of things. And yes, that helps in business, but like, invite people to send you a DM, talk to more people, go message someone and thank them for liking your photo, like, kind of going the extra mile, being a human being on social media and being social on social media. That's what's going to make you different. Same thing with posting too, right? Like, and to your point, everyone's doing lived in blondes, everyone's doing lived in hair, whatever it is. What's going to make you unique is being able to actually share your voice, whether it's in a video or whether it's in a caption, not just trying to do what you think everyone wants you to, what everyone wants you to post, or what you think is going to do well. It's being genuine to who you actually are, because then you're going to attract the clients who are like you. And who doesn't want, not that you want your clients to be like you, maybe you don't, whatever, but like, you want to be able to have a conversation with these people when they're in your chair. You want to be able, sure, to have similarities, connections, because that's what's going to make them want to stay with you. Because at the end of the day, there's a lot of talented people out there, which is great. I love the age of social media where we can just go get education, and a lot of people are great. So what's going to make you different is who you are as a person.
So I'm going to back up a little bit. You mentioned that when you're working with someone, you'll double down on what they're doing right and try to remove and fix what they're not doing right. So this is kind of more of a hands-on versus like watching a video and trying, yeah, to do what you say.
Yeah, it's really a hybrid approach. So it's like, here's what we do. Now modify it to your specific business. Now start implementing it. Let us review it. Let us get in there and kind of pick it apart. And then we give you our custom recommendation, and then you go back and do that. So really like little 5% and 10% shifts. So it's, it's not just like, watch this thing, and it's not just, hey, we'll just do it all for you, because the truth is, if you do want to build something great, no one's just going to do it for you. It's a hybrid approach, right? So it's like, we know what we're doing, we have it proven, but now we have to prove it for you, which is a teamwork process. So yeah, it's in depth in that sense.
I love that.
Oh, good, yeah. I do also want to kind of also sidestep back to where you mentioned communication and like what makes you stand out. I think a perspective shift is really needed. So when you're going, in my opinion, when you're going out and building a business, you either have a chance to get a customer or a client, or you have a chance to get a relationship. It's kind of like what you guys are doing with the podcast here. We could either be a podcast guest, or we could be a relationship with you. And so if you build a relationship, we send more people, we promote your brand, we talk highly about you, right? And then same thing, vice versa. If we're just a podcast guest, it like starts here and dies today. And I think a lot of people in business see that as well. And then you see people running into like the, well, like, how much does it cost and what's your price? And then we get into this transactional kind of space, and that kind of sucks. So we think of more of a transformational space, take longer, acquire the relationship, and the relationship is really what feeds like the money, you know?
We see our students, they get so wrapped up where a person will message them and be like, what's your price? And then the stylist will say the price, and then the conversation just dies out, and then they'll come to upset and they're like, what happened? I don't understand. Like, how can I be transformational when this person is now being transactional? And that's kind of what we do, is we teach you not how to avoid those questions, because let's be honest, it's that's all they know. Like, our potential clients, they're not, they didn't go to school. They don't understand what goes into it. And like, us going online and talking about, this is how much my box of gloves costs, like, isn't going to make them feel good. And it's, and I don't think it's going to make them want to pay. What's going to make them want to experience what you have is building that relationship. So our, what we like to do is kind of, how do you guide that conversation instead of avoiding questions that are kind of unavoidable? Just how do we take control of that conversation so that we can lead it in a better direction? Because they don't know what they don't know.
Are you wanting to give something now?
Sure.
Okay, so like, if I were to email you and I go like, hey, how much are your highlights? So, because that's going to be a normal client conversation.
Yeah.
So what, I use the word rebuttal, but what's your rebuttal to that?
Sure, it would be like, hey, Susan, I'd love to help you. I really want to help you achieve that look. Depending on your things like your hair history, what it is that you're looking for, I just want to ask you a few questions. That way I can give you an accurate price quote. Is it okay if I ask you a few questions? Now we're starting a conversation. 9 times out of 10, someone's going to be like, yeah, sure. You can ask me a couple questions. If that person says no, now you can at least disqualify that person. Be like, okay, if they're not even willing to have a conversation, I probably don't want them as a client. But now, if now that door's open. So if they say, yeah, like, you can ask me a couple questions, now we move into like a consultation portion, right? Now that's when we're going to talk about, okay, awesome. Did you have an idea? Like, did you have an inspiration photo in mind? Or if you're really starting from scratch, have you ever colored your hair before? And really just go through some of those questions that you'd be going through in a consultation. And then towards the end, that's when we can talk about things like budget. That's when you can talk about pricing, because now you've already gotten them quote unquote bought into your process, right? Now you're, I like to call it flexing your knowledge. You're showing them, hey, this isn't just a transaction. I'm taking my time. I really want to do a good job. I want to make sure you're happy. I'm going to be throwing in extra like buzzwords and key phrases to let you know I'm taking care of the health of your hair. I'm going to make sure I'm using the right product. I'm going to make sure we work with your exact hair texture, things of that nature. So then subconsciously that client's like, oh shit, like, this person knows what they're talking about and I want to go with this person, instead of just being like, it's $250. Right. Think about how different that conversation is just by asking a question. And that's kind of what we like to teach them, is continue to ask questions, because that's what you do in person, right?
1,000%. I mean, as you were explaining
You know I'm in, right?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, as you were explaining that, I was already... as you were explaining that, I already felt like the consultation or the appointment already started, and I'm already getting a much added, or it's worth a lot more already because of the consultation.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if you look at like the dynamics of services versus products, like this monster can, it's kind of full. I don't know if the camera can see it, but that's like a product on a shelf. There's a price. It is what it is. The value is established however you establish it. But if you look at the dynamics of like most successful service industries, even outside of this one, all of the top players are taking that approach of, well, I don't have a quote until I understand you and what you want. You know, if I'm a landscaping company and I'm doing a $1 million redesign in a backyard, how do I know until I walk the place, until I figure out what kind of soil there is, you know, like what the neighbor's fence looks like? And so I think in this industry, that's why I always go back to like rewire the beliefs and perspectives. If you're just looking at it like your service is a monster can on a shelf, then that's the box you limit yourself to, right? So everything starts with how do you view it, and that opens up the playing field that you play your game in.
And I always like to say, imagine you build that connection. Think about how much easier it is to retain that client now that they already know, like, trust you before they even walk in the door. Now you're like fighting less on that first appointment to like really wow them, because it's like they already know you by the time they come in. So now that, because you've already been asking, right, that ask at the end of buying product, rebooking, reviews, referrals, it's gonna be so much easier because you already built up that relationship with them.
Yeah, and like business, it's like it's either more work now or more work later. I'd prefer to do more work now, because usually when you're doing more work later, A, it's reactive, so like, yep, I'd rather be proactive versus reactive. But then B, like, you already got past the hard part.
It's like, if you think about it like a scale, like for the camera, if you're watching and not on audio, it's like scales 1 through 10. It's like, this is before the appointment, the middle is the appointment, and then after the appointment, right? People are putting so much pressure on that dollar sign where the money's coming in on that appointment day, when it's like, let's spread that energy out a little bit. Let's put a little energy before they come in. Let's spread that energy out after, making sure 24 to 48 hours after, are you texting them to ask them, hey, we did a big change. How are you feeling about your hair? Giving yourself the opportunity for a fix if need be. Or they love it, and you, that's when you can ask for that review. That's when you can ask for that referral, right? When you spread it out, it seems like more work up front, but it's not, because now that client's probably going to be retained, and you're on less of a hamster wheel of like, I got to find a new client. My clients aren't coming back.
Well, you're always in the, like, if you're playing the back end of that scenario, like, yep, you're always playing to keep your client.
Yes.
Right. And if you have 100 clients, then you're fighting 100 clients.
Yep.
Instead of, like, you know, once you do the work at the front, now you're there.
Exactly.
You're golden.
Yep. Right? We like to say, like, cast a big net, right? Because you hear a lot of term, the ideal client, right? Which I like it. I get it. Like, you should be working with the clients that you like. But if you're in a spot where you're like, I need clients like yesterday, or if you're just like in a hustle mode, cast a big net. Bring in as many people as you can. Then you can decide once, because it's like supply and demand, right? Sure. Your demand is low, but you want to like pick and choose who you're working with. That doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Your demand needs to be higher. Then you can be like, okay, now I have options with my pricing. Now I have options with the hours that I'm working. Now I have options with who I'm working with, the services I'm doing, right? So depending on where you're at, my big thing is like, cast a big net, get as many people in the door as you can. And then that's when you can start really like retaining that core group that you really want to.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
That's actually one of my pet peeves. I'm glad that you kind of brought it up.
Yeah.
No, but just the conversation that we're having, yeah, as an industry, and like, you know, you have first-year people that have, you know, 18 hours in a day to fill.
Yep.
And they're like,
I don't want to.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
It's all supply and demand. It's like if you look at Apple when they launch a new phone, the reason they have people lining up outside the building and they literally have less phones than they could sell is because the demand's there, right? So then they could be picky. Well, we'll make the new phone $1,400, right? Because they have that ability. You have to earn that ability first, right?
Yeah,
no, 100%. I tell this to the students too, because I lived it, right? Fill Your Books was made off of me, and it was, I didn't have anything different. In fact, I think I had way less than most. I had no clients, I had no money, I knew nobody. And it's like, it's just your mindset and your perspective that's going to get you there. It's the lens that you're viewing your life and career through. It's like the person that's willing to get outside of their comfort zone, the person that's willing to be like, you know what? I'm gonna take it all, and then I'm gonna get my demand up, and then I'm gonna really perfect it from there. You're only doing yourself a disservice by trying to be picky and choosy up front. And honestly, it's a little like judgy. Like when I put it in the perspective of this, the students, I'm like, you can't just say like, I want to work with this person, not this person. You don't know until they come in the door. You have no idea the opportunity that you're missing out on. What if that person is a great person and they go and they refer, you know, three of their friends, and then those people, like, you just don't know. So yeah, I give yourself as much opportunity as a
salon owner, or I would want to bring you guys in to educate my whole staff, because you know,
we do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great advice. I mean, that's a great service to the industry. And it's just the two of you. Are you guys? Is it hard, when a salon comes in and hires you, is it hard to try to observe the whole salon, or do you find they generally have the same habits? Because it's
interesting. You always, when you walk into a business, like the team's always going to be a reflection of the leader, right? So that's the first thing you have to fix. It's almost as like a bottleneck, right? And then so you look at whatever the leader's doing, then you'll see the reflection. And then, like, you have to fix that first. I made a video a while back that kind of went a little popular. And it was, you know, if you're showing up late, you can't expect people to show up on time. If you're not putting in extra hours, it's really hard to preach it to somebody else. And you can, but then it feels also unethical. And then people also are judging your behavior too, right? And I don't have kids, so I'm not going to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I'm assuming, like, you know, if you see a kid that's put together and respectful and has good awareness, I'm sure the apple didn't fall too far from the tree, right? And so same thing in business, you look up the line. So that's always the first thing to fix. So that's kind of how we approach it.
There's salons and stylists that come, like, the whole spectrum, right? But something that I brought up commission salons earlier, and I had to say, like, nothing bad on commission salons because there's that bad rep, right? Of, like, toxic salon owner, toxic salon, whatever. I just think that there's a big divide between owner and stylist. And owners are like, they just want to be on their own. I can't find people who want to work. And then there's stylists who are like, I want to work, but I can't find the right owner. And I think what is happening is that we need to, owners and stylists, owners first because they're the leader. We need to realize that we're playing on the same team. It's very, like, feels like we're on opposite sides of the board, and in order for everyone to be successful, we need to show up on the same team. And like Corey said, it's just salons, it's a reflection
Which Corey?
Of the leader. This one.
The important one. Not me. The important one.
Yeah.
The one with the other beard.
Yeah. That's what I said when we walked in. I was like, Corey's the one with the beard. He was like, me too. I was like,
yeah. Always. Always. So, Jenna, were you like this... For the lack of a better word, were you this aggressive, like, when you were living out east, or was this something that, or did you kind of feel like you were in, like, a sink or swim kind of situation?
In a different way. I did it, like, a two-year, like, brutal apprentice assistantship, if you will, and I was always, even in hair school, like, really aggressive in my craft and just my guest experience. I just loved the industry. Corey can attest, like, in our first apartment, I would just come home, I would whip out the mannequin head and be watching DJ Muldoon video. Shout out DJ Muldoon, love
DJ,
him.
Love that guy.
And I would just be in it, immersed. I was at my assistant's, I would be in on my days off, doing blowouts on my friends. I burnt my sister-in-law's hair off. Sorry, Kara. I was just really, really practicing, and I went in every single day. So I did really have that. But I had the comfort of knowing people, right? So it was like I was comfortable, like, texting someone and being like, hey, can you come be my model? I would, like, talk to people out and about. So I had the comfort of, like, a somewhat of a circle. So it was, like, comfortable just being home. I think what really, like, lit the fire, like I said, that sink or swim was just being in a completely new environment at 20 years old, not knowing anybody, and also, like, I don't really go out, or I'm not a social butterfly. Coming here, I was like, oh man, I'm going to be, like, out with people. But that's what really forced me to get creative with how can I connect with people? Because I knew that, like, if I just have as many conversations as I can, it's a numbers game. I'm going to book people. So it was just figuring that out. But yeah, I think I've always had a fire. Do you think?
Oh yeah, 100%. That has always been in there.
That's cool. I mean, what a testament to you, and because I didn't have that. I didn't I wanted to learn my craft and do my craft, but I wasn't going the extra mile to do it necessarily, you know?
I think I just had something to prove. I, like, wasn't supposed to go to hair school. It was like I lied and told all my friends I was going to college because I did well in high school, and I was, like, should have gone to college and, like, get a real education, or what are you doing going to hair school? So I had something to prove, and I was like, I'm gonna make these people regret making me feel bad.
Right. Am I going to hair school?
Yeah. My sister's a doctor. So it was like I was following the path, but I realized, I was like, I don't wanna go to college. Like, I don't actually like school. Like, I'm okay at it, but I don't wanna go to college. So thanks to him. He stuck around home, and I was like, well, I don't wanna leave Corey.
Yeah, I'm bad at school, so I'm just a bad influence.
Well, and you didn't, get yourself in a massive school loan debt either.
Exactly. No school debt. My sister cannot say the same with her medical school.
No, heck no, right? And yeah. It's like, it's funny, like, with them, like, you know, when we were kids, it was like, go to become a doctor and become rich, and now it's like, your bills are so high, and the insurance companies are paying a lot less. But that's
don't go to college. Right. Don't do it.
I don't know if I recommend that. Right. But it's not for everyone.
No, yeah. It's not for everybody. 100%.
Right.
No.
It's not for everybody.
It doesn't have to be the path. But again, it all goes to your perspective, right? If you go to hair school, we all went to school, right? And we all know that a large percentage of the class didn't do much with what they learned, or they were just like messing around in class. And I never understood. I'm like, are we not all paying to be here? Like, I don't get it. So it's like, or you can go to college, and the same thing happens. It's the people who have a drive and an end goal in mind. And it doesn't mean that you need to know the exact way to get there. It just means you are willing to be uncomfortable every day in the direction that you want to be growing in. As long as you have that, you're golden.
That's such wise words, you know, because I certainly know we've talked about it too. It's like, you know, there is no growth without that uncomfortable.
No, not at all. Like, I've just witnessed it from my perspective, like, and just to brag about you a little bit here, if I can, like, Jenna's built a 7-figure business by her mid-20s. And if you look at, like, what she goes through behind the scenes to get there, you could place so many of those items in being uncomfortable, right? And like she said, no degree, no special experience. And so I think it's powerful. Like, I think a lot of people have the opportunity to be uncomfortable. Maybe you are right now, and maybe you don't see it as a positive. But I think it's like the best thing that can happen within context.
Yeah, but uncomfortable could just mean like pulling out the mannequin head when you don't really feel like it. Like, you're like, I want to chill out and have a glass of wine and watch Netflix. But it's like, you know what, for one more hour, I'm just going to go work on the mannequin head. Or it's like, you know what, like how I did. Today's my day off, but I'm going to go do my friend's hair in the salon because I'm assisting. Or, you know what, this person liked my photo. They have a pretty cool profile on Instagram. I'm going to go message them and see if they want to be my client. You know, like, it's just doing little things every day. I'm uncomfortable asking this person to rebook. Ask them to rebook. Every question you don't ask is a no. Like, just always be willing to do, I don't know if you guys know Ed Milet, but he does, like, power of one more. It's like, just one more rep, one, like, just keep doing one more. So uncomfortable doesn't mean you need to be, like, I don't know, walking on hot coals like Tony Robbins or whatever, right. But it could just be doing the thing that you don't feel like in the moment, just a little bit. And it's not about changing your life overnight. It's just about doing the little things consistently. It's like going to the gym. You don't just go to the gym for 10 hours in one day and be like, where are my abs? Like, it's just, you go for like 30 minutes, 4 or 5 days a week, and you do that consistently, and you'll start to see change.
Are you still behind the chair now?
So right now I'm actually not. As you heard, I'm very passionate about guest experience, and I was starting to realize, like, as I was juggling both businesses, I was like, my guest experience is going to start to slip if I don't figure this out. And Fill Your Books, I feel like, is an opportunity that's once in a lifetime right now. And I have hair, and I do my friend's hair, and I still get my skills in when I need. But I wanted to give my full energy and attention to the students of Fill Your Books just right now.
She burned her boats.
I said, I got to do it.
Right? That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
We were, the word change and what it means to me and kind of how it changed my perspective. Change. Here we go with change again.
Yeah.
Is that for a long time, I thought change was what was next. But I realized that change was like giving up a belief system.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're big on the belief system. I was like, you always can kind of like go down the chart of your reality that you have is based on your behavior, right? Because your behavior is, let's say, like your action steps and what you're doing. And then your behavior is influenced by your beliefs, right? Like, so what do I believe is going to influence what I do? And then you can even go like a layer deeper, which is like, what is my identity? And then that's been formed through like the people, places, and experiences in your life. And so when I'm working with people and I notice fundamental blocks, I always like to go back to inner work and figure out, like, why do you believe X about yourself, or why is this true, right? It's like, well, mom told me, or this thing happened and that made me believe this, you know? And so going back through your life and picking that apart is really important too. I think for a lot of people who may feel stuck and want to grow to the next level, start to peel the layers back. Sometimes it's hard to just like start implementing a new habit when you have shit deep down that's holding you back,
sure.
Right? And so climbing back through that kind of subconscious ladder is really powerful.
That's the first thing that we teach. And Fill Your Books, the first module, if you will, is mindset. Because it's like, if that's not good, good luck with the rest. Because it's like, I can teach anybody how to do all the things that we teach, but it's what I can't teach is belief, perspective. And like Corey said, a lot of times it's just you've been... Like, if you're in the spot where you're at, it's because you've been doing certain things a certain way, the same way, over and over again. So, and that's what's going to form the belief, like Corey said. So it's just a matter of kind of changing those daily habits a bit, trying to change your thoughts. It's a we're big, firm believers in. I was like, say, you don't just have like a little man running around your head, like telling you things. It's you telling you those things. So you have the power to change the way that you're thinking. You have the power to change what you're doing in a second. Like, to your point of change, if you're scrolling on your phone and you don't want to be scrolling on your phone, you want to be practicing or whatever, and you catch yourself, you have the power to turn it off, flip it down, and be like, you know what? I'm going to go do this thing now. But what we do is we see that we like tell ourselves that, and then we're like, oh, whatever, I'll start tomorrow. And what is that doing? Just, it's like a berm on a track. You're just digging that thought process and that belief system deeper, because now you're telling yourself, I can't do things. I can't put things down. I can't finish things, right? I struggled with that all the time. And I what I've realized is that the more I just take, I have the power to control, and the more that I can change those habits, the more that my beliefs change and the easier it becomes.
Yeah, the statements I can't and I am are way too powerful to just like use all the time. You're defining things like way too much, you know, and you put yourself in a box. So really peeling that back and working on the man in the mirror, woman in the mirror, whatever, it's kind of our big thing.
And you guys help with that in the program?
Yeah, 100%.
Sure. That's like such a big, because the thing is, and a lot of people don't see it this way, but like marketing, sales, building a business, the tactical stuff, I think that's actually pretty easy. I think what's hard is like your biggest battle is yourself, the person in the mirror. That's always the biggest battle, right? So getting out of your own way almost, and then being able to do those things. Because I can hand anyone 100 customers like really easily, but most people can't handle that, right? And then it's like, are they not skilled? It's like, well, no, look at the pressure that comes with it, right? You start to fold under it almost. So you also have to mentally be ready to grow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of a Mike Tyson quote. He said, if you think $100 million is going to make you happy, you've never had $100 million.
Yeah.
I think it's such a great quote.
Yeah. Right? No, it's true. And that's what you're going to quote Mike Tyson. I'm going to quote Miley Cyrus, because that's more in my realm. She says, you know,
they're both fighters.
Yeah. It's in the climb, right? It's in the journey. And that's what we try and teach everybody. Like, if you're not having fun right now building this clientele, you're not going to have fun when you have a full book, because I promise you, it's going to be a bit more stressful in a different way. More money, more problems. Biggie wasn't lying. You got to get it together now, or else that's, you're either not going to get there, or you're not going to be happy once you get there.
I love that. Do you guys do some, so through the program, are you also doing like financial advice or kind of how to process
a little bit within context? Like, we're not financial advisors or CPAs,
sure.
I like to be real clear about that. But again, like, I'll beat the mindset thing down, even with money coming in. I mean, I'm not going to tell someone where to invest, but if you don't have a good relationship.
Well, more about your relationship with it than it is where you put it.
Yeah, your relationship with it. Yeah, well, the first is with what you said is, don't make that your source of happiness. I've made that mistake before. That sucks. If, like, you're not ready for it, you'll lose it. I've had that happen too, you know.
Do you think that that's part of the process, or do you think that it's something that you can learn before?
I think it's part of the process. Look, are there some people that have some financial success and they like do everything right? Sure. But like 99% of the times, at least my own journey and from what I've witnessed so many others, is, you know, you get that first bag and you got to drop it, right? You might have to drop it a few times to learn, like, all right, got to reel it in a little bit, got to be a little bit more realistic and be smart here. And so that's the first thing. And then, like, once your relationship and perspective on it is good, then you can do all the other, you know, investing, being smart, saving, all of that. And I think that just comes down to personal preference, you know. I mean, if you're just solo trying to travel the world, you don't have kids, you don't have a house, you're going to have a way different money game than someone who maybe has, like, 3 kids, debt to pay off, lives in a more expensive area, right? So it kind of comes down to context in terms of, like, what do I do with my finances? But I think the perspective and relationship trumps all of that.
I also think, like, what more so the finances that we're dealing with like, the inner circle students is, like, it's a big conversation around pricing. Like, everyone says, I want to make 6 figures, but then they're like, how do I raise my prices? What do I do? And I think where there's a disconnect in the industry is organization. Like, there's a big boom in independence right now, which I think is great, but I also think we're going to have a swing backwards too, because I think a lot of people didn't realize what it is involved with running your own business. Like, you're a salon with yourself. So I think people don't really take into account, like, what are my expenses every single month, right? What do I need to, like, how much does my product cost? How much do I need to put away for taxes? What do I need to calculate here in order to figure out, okay, if I want to be making $10,000 a month, but my expenses are $4,000, that means if I want to make $10,000 a month, I need to be making $14,000. And if I'm available, you know, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, let me break that down. How much do I need to be bringing in hourly, right? So it's like putting them more in a less emotional state, because we're a very emotional people, which is fine. I think it's what makes us good at what we do, but just realizing where that line is of, this is business. You can be your creative, artistic, beautiful self behind the chair, but when your office hours are office hours, it's black and white. Numbers are pretty simple. And I think it's just getting people to realize that, and then there's so much more clarity on that end, at least.
Yeah. I love that. What particularly you, Corey, you talk a lot about, like, mindsets, or you certainly have today. Like,
sure.
Like, what are you doing for your – who's coaching you?
Me.
Yeah, right. No, seriously, Jenna. I don't know. I do like a decent spread, I guess, of personal development. But I have my
own. He's walked over coals, hasn't he, Jenna?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I've walked over coals.
He definitely would never. He's scared to get a shot. Like, no.
Yeah, I hate needles. That's why I only have one tattoo for now. You know?
And it's crooked because he couldn't sit still. So he wanted to leave.
I mean, I've had, like, various mentors throughout the years and all of that stuff. And I think that's important. But something that's really helped me, like, mellow out and stay balanced, at least over the past few years, especially with growing and just having so many customers and helping a bunch of people, it's just a lot of the same things I preach, which is, like, a lot of internal self-awareness and, like, thoughts rolling through. And then a good quote that I heard from somebody, I think it was last year, that really helped me get, like, very mellow and controlled with my emotional state was, what's real versus what do you feel? And now I kind of categorize everything into those two. And we, like, that blends together for a lot of people, like, what do I feel versus what's real? And a lot of times those two aren't equivalent, right? And so you got to be careful. So really just a lot of internal self-awareness, monitoring my own thoughts. What do I think? What new beliefs are trying to come into play? And just not letting the highs be high and the lows be low. So just kind of keeping like a, because like in business, it's just, even like with results, it's like a roller coaster. But then when we attach too much of our identity or happiness or whatever to that roller coaster, then that's what our life starts to look like, right? And so I actually have a graph that I drew, and you just draw a line straight through the middle, and your goal is to keep yourself in the middle, right? So if you had your best month, your worst month, whatever, you got to fight to stay on that middle line. Because it's like the highs are what get you, honestly, right? That's when you go up higher, like, oh, man, I feel really good. But now, like, everything that goes up must come down. So now you just set yourself up to crash, right? And so, like, I guess after 1,000 times of that happening, I've learned, all right, best month, best day, best week, whatever, just another day. Right. So,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the analogy of gambling. You win and you're going to chase that win, you know. So when you high, you're going to chase that high, and you might not.
You're not going to always have it.
No.
Yeah.
But you'll chase it.
Yeah.
It's never this. It's.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Right. I mean, like the stock market. Yeah, it keeps growing. But it
yeah,
just
I had another good one I heard from a mentor, which also really like helped me step back, was if you look at like a sales chart or a stock chart or a revenue chart, it looks like a heart attack graph. So if you like attach yourself to that, like, dude, you're in for a whirlwind of hurt eventually, because you're going to be going up and down with that. And like literally your dopamine, your serotonin, oxytocin, all of those chemicals are going up and down. That's a whole other topic for another day. But learning how your the chemicals in your brain like influence yourself. Learning how to pull dopamine from other places that like are not business, because that becomes dangerous again because you have that sales chart heart attack graph type effect.
That's something that we're passionate about too, is we're very passionate about time management with people, because I started as someone, I'm like super ADD brain, I'm like everywhere all the time, and I'm like, I just go with the flow. That was always my statement. And what I realized was, one, I wasn't being productive. Two, like, I didn't have time for me because I was always waiting till the last minute, or I was crunching, and then I'd be like laying in bed at night like, what didn't I do today? And I'm like doing lists in my brain.
Sure.
What we teach people is like, plan out your week ahead, plan out exactly what you need to do, plan out your marketing time, plan out your to go to the grocery store, whatever it is, and now you know your free time. So now we block off all of our free time, and it's like, okay, no work during this time, and that's work-life balance. And again, up front seems like more work, but I promise you will be so much happier when you actually have that dedicated time for you, because it's so important. As stylists, like, you have to, we give so much. We give, 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 and it's what makes you good at what you do, but you have to fill your own cup. You can't pour from empty. So.
A lot of nuggets in this thing. Yeah, this conversation.
Back, you were talking about the dopamine thing.
Sure.
And I've told this story a couple times on the podcast, but I think it's relevant here.
Sure.
Is my nephew's a Navy SEAL, right?
Oh, wow.
So he went through SEAL training, and like he's a badass.
Yes.
But he in week four is called Hell Week, right?
Yep.
And it's like the most brutal kind of like training that these guys go through, and they sleep like 4 hours in a week or something. It's absolutely insane. So after he finished training, I was totally setting him up to like brag about Hell Week, you know, which he wouldn't, but that's a whole other story. But I go, dude, what was the hardest week? And I thought for sure he'd say Hell Week, and he said it was actually the week after Hell Week. And he says, because what happens is that you're running so lean to get through Hell Week that the next week you literally don't have the chemicals to be happy. You literally don't have the chemicals to even be able to, like, exist, because you're just, like, you're so spent all over.
Yeah.
And he said it was the only week where the guys fought. And these are also, like, type A guys, you know, most of them.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not allowed to work out. They're not allowed, you know, their body has to recover, but so does their brain. And he said that was the toughest week, which was, like, so shocking to kind of hear, right?
Yeah.
And on a little note, we've talked about this too. On a little note, like when we do like weekends like this, I know that it takes me 2 or 3 days to recover, but we run at such a high level. I think our dopamine just drops, not completely drop out like it would for a SEAL, but
I
understood that, and I go, oh, okay, I'm tired because, not just because we didn't sleep, not just because of that, but our dopamine is running low as well.
Yeah. 100%. Well, you see people, they go to like classes or events like this, whatever, you get all hyped up. The gallery guy on stage is like, you know, go home, do that. Even if you, even like a podcast at a smaller scale, but you hear it. And that's why events are always so interesting. Like everyone's all fired up and then they leave. And then within like 24 to 48 hours, where'd the fire go? Which is also why I say like, don't rely on motivation, like build just
habits.
Internal evidence through habits and behavior. Yeah.
No. And that's why like what we teach, we have people with us for months, years at a time, because it's like, why stop the thing that's helping you get there? Why get further away from the campfire, if you will? Like people want to do, we call it the mindset paradox, where it's like you get some wins, you get a little bit of money, your dopamine's high, you're like, oh good, like I got it, it's fine, and you think it's just gonna be there, but it's like the next day starts at zero. Like we say, every day is a new day. So it's like you have to keep proving it, and what happens is you're on that high and then you experience that low, and the low feels so much worse than it needs to, because that low is almost inevitable. So again, be proactive, not reactive. Know that it's going to be there, and do the things beforehand so that instead of being a serious drop, just a little dip, and then you're good.
I love
that. You see that in athletes all the time.
Oh yeah.
You know,
and you
think all that money and all that success and all that fame and all that recognition is always going to be there, and then one day it's gone, and they feel incomplete. They feel lost. They feel you know, what happened. But it's so true.
Yeah, no, it is.
That's why it's also important. I like to say, like, when you take more control of your clientele, when you take more control over who's coming in, you're taking more control of your business. And you hear the term, like, work-life balance a lot. I like to think of it as, like, why does there have to be so much separation? Like, why can't we just make it so that we do enjoy it, so that we don't have to be like, I can't do this anymore? Of course those days are going to be there. We have long days, but mentally take back control over it so that you can find joy, just as much joy there as you do in your off time, you know? And I think just being in the driver's seat, that's why we use that term, because so many people feel like they're on the hamster wheel. Like it's happening to them, when it's like, no, like you are holding the Xbox controller of your life. So when you take back control, that's when you're going to feel so much happier there, because it's not just like a waiting game of, am I going to be successful? Will I? No.
Well, I think that there's so much reward in being proactive.
So much.
When you're an active member in your life and you're not just waiting for life to happen.
Yes.
Like I mean, the biggest changes in my life is absolutely, positively, without a doubt, when I've been proactive in my life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Otherwise, you become, and then like people actually say, you become like a victim of your circumstances.
Of yourself. You're a victim of yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's all it is. Yeah. And like one of our phrases is like, you know, the world doesn't happen to you. You happen to the world. Just pick a side, you know?
And it's not to say that people don't go through hardship. It's not to say that, like, things aren't difficult, but it's just the way that you choose to view it, you know?
That's awesome. So where can guys find you? Where can they kind of locate you?
Instagram, I'm at Jenna Puzio Hair. You can find us at fillyourbooks.com is our YouTube channel, fillyourbooks.edu.
Yeah, just type in fillyourbooks on YouTube. You'll see us.
I got a ton of free education on there, too. Feel free to send me a DM. I'm more than happy to chat with people.
That's awesome. Yeah. I could talk to you guys for hours because you're both very intriguing people.
Thank you.
I'm getting off because we have to get off, but it's not because there's no want here, you know?
We could do another one. It's fine.
That's
fine. We
can
talk for hours.
Yeah. Let's think about, because we do these segments called small talks.
Sure.
And pick, like, subject points and that's going to give added value to the listener and I think it'd be a great conversation.
Basically, we hand you the mic for 20 minutes and say, educate us.
Sure,
right?
We'll do it.
And then we can do that, and we can do like a series of like four or something.
Cool.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Only reason why we're jumping off is because it's been an hour.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Shit.
It's a quick hour.
Yeah. Time flies by,
right?
Fun.
It's so crazy. Jenna and Corey from Fill Your Books.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very, very much for joining us on Your Day Off.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.